He wished both his sons to be with him. The elder, as it happened, was already there, but he had to send for Cyrus from the province over which he had made him satrap, having also appointed him general of all the forces that gather in the plain of the Castolas. Thus Cyrus went up, taking with him Tissaphernes as his friend, and accompanied also by a body of Greeks, 300 heavily armed men, under the command of Xenius, the Parrhasian. But when Darius died, and Artaxerxes was established in the kingdom, Tissaphernes brought slanderous accusations against Cyrus before his brother, the king, of harbouring plots against him. And Artaxerxes, listening to the words of Tissaphernes, captured Cyrus, desiring to put him to death, but his mother interceded for him and sent him back again in safety to his province. He then, having so escaped through peril and dishonour, began considering not only how he might avoid ever again being in his brother's power, but how, if possible, he might become king in his stead. Parysatis, his mother, was his foremost supporter, for she had more love for Cyrus than for Artaxerxes upon his throne. Moreover, Cyrus's behaviour towards all who came to him from the king's court was such that, when he sent them away again, they were better friends to him than to the king, his brother. Nor did he neglect the barbarians in his own service, but trained them to be both capable as warriors and devoted adherents of himself. Lastly, he began collecting his Greek army, but with the utmost secrecy, so that he might take the king, as far as possible, by surprise. The manner in which he contrived the levying of the troops was as follows. First, he sent orders to the commanders of garrisons in the cities, bidding them to get together as large a body of selected Peloponnesian troops as they were able, on the grounds that Tissaphernes was plotting against their cities. And indeed, these cities of Ionia had originally belonged to Tissaphernes, being given to him by the king, but at this time, with the exception of Miletus, they had all revolted to Cyrus. In Miletus, Tissaphernes, having become aware of similar plots, had forestalled the conspirators by putting some to death and banishing the remainder. Cyrus, on his side, welcomed these fugitives, and having gathered an army, laid siege to Miletus by sea and land, endeavouring to reinstate the exiles, and this gave him another pretext for collecting an army. At the same time he sent to the king, and claimed, as being the king's brother, that these cities should be given to himself, rather than that Tissaphernes should continue to govern them. And in furtherance of this end, the queen, his mother, cooperated with him, so that the king not only failed to see the plot against himself, but concluded that Cyrus was spending his money on arms in order to make war on Tissaphernes. Nor did it pain him greatly to see the two at war together, and the less so because Cyrus was careful to remit the tribute due to the king from the cities which belonged to Tissaphernes. A third army was being collected for him in the Chersonese, over by Abydos, the origin of which was as follows. There was a Lacedaemonian exile named Clearchus, with whom Cyrus had become associated. Cyrus admired the man, and made him a present of 10,000 darics. Clearchus took the gold, and with the money raised an army, and using the Chersonese as his base of operations, set out to fight the Thracians north of the Hellespont, in the interests of the Greeks. And with such a happy result that the Hellespontine cities, of their own accord, were eager to contribute funds for the support of his troops. In this way again, an army was being secretly maintained for Cyrus. Then there was the Thessalian Aristippus, Cyrus's friend, who, under pressure of the rival political party at home, had come to Cyrus and asked him to pay for 2,000 mercenaries to be continued for 3 months, which would enable him, he said, to gain the upper hand over his opponents. Cyrus replied by presenting him with 6 months' pay for 4,000 mercenaries, only stipulating that Aristippus should not come to terms with his opponents without final consultation with himself. In this way, he secured for himself